Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that book.
Welcome to 8-Bit Book Club. Or The View Crew. Oh. We might be changing the name. We're not sure.
It's time for a refresh.
We're thinking about a rebrand.
We're thinking about a rebrand
because we didn't watch anything about video games this week.
Yeah.
And much like The Hexer, we're becoming The Witcher.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Oh, I guess The Witcher can be related to video games, but the movie we watched preceded the video games, I believe.
We haven't read a book about a video game in a very long time, which the song specifically mentions.
Right.
A couple times.
Well, reading books is hard and takes a lot of time, and also
and so did this fucking movie. God damn, this was the longest 2 hours of my life.
This movie started off, and I really liked everyone's costumes, so I thought I was going to be in. But then they just kept introducing new characters.
Yeah. Dude, I love the credits. When the credits were going on, I was like, damn, I think I might actually low-key love this
film. It starts
off
so strong. Murph, do you want to like give us an intro as to what we're talking about before we launch
Okay, so this is the Hexer, a.k.a. The Witcher. This is the first attempt to bring The Witcher to the screen. Mm-hmm. This is a Polish movie from, I believe, 2001. I don't have any of the stuff in front of me because we're just going to kind of riff and talk about this
2001 is correct.
Great. I won the test. It was released in 2001. I believe it spawned a television series, which I will say right off the bat, this would have worked better as a TV series.
And I'll tell you why, Murph.
Fun fact. Coppola is going to say the same fun fact as I am, right? Go ahead.
Beat me to
deliver
the fact.
It.
Who has the fun fact? Just somebody fucking talk.
I'm getting fun fact blue balls here.
Jesus Christ. I want a fun fact jizz.
It was in production as a TV show when they turned it into that movie.
Yeah. Bad call. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It did feel like a bunch of episodes of TV strung together because it would go up and then another lull and then up. And then another expository lull.
And the reason it felt like that is because that's what it was.
That's exactly what happened here.
This dude was knocked out in every scene and woke up in the next scene either captured or being nursed by a friend in literally every cut. Like, I'm not joking. 7 times.
He had so much poultice applied to him that I was starting to get like a little jealous that Murph has never applied poultice. Wow.
It's really, I mean, it speaks to Geralt's character that so many people are willing to apply poultices to him.
And this does happen a lot. This does happen a lot in the game, and it happens a lot in the books.
Murph, what if my love language is having poultice applied to me?
You have to get knocked out in the woods more often.
Yeah.
I need to save you.
Have you never gathered herbs and put them into a little
sack? She's never been knocked out in the woods. What do you
mean? I applied poultice to your wrists the other day after you rollerbladed.
I got some light poulticing.
Put some tiger balm.
She had some tiger balm after I was doing some sick grinds. Uh-huh. And by that, I mean I was doing a bad job and thus falling on a ledge over and over again. Because I did not have wrist guards at the time, but now I do.
You just bought inline skates, right?
Just bought some inline skates,
Wow.
Which, imagine bringing you back to The Witcher if he had been on skates rather than a horse.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something right off the bat. It might sound weird. The horses moved wrong in this.
There was like a horse body at one point that was like supposed to be a dead horse body. I think that wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I struggled with was multiple characters looked different from shot to shot. So, certainly. Like all of the stuff with Pavela, Siri's mom in the beginning, yeah. I kept thinking it was two different characters.
I don't know if someone
doing makeup was like not on the continuity, or if you told me they were swapping out actors, yeah. I would believe you because that's how different. Yeah, I agree.
They might have because of the TV aspect. You know? Maybe somebody was like, I actually can't make this episode.
That's what made this, because one of the things that made this such a joyless watch that was one of the worst ways I've spent 2 hours recently, and mm-hmm. I've been rollerblading and kind of injured, right. But this was way
you
worse.
You love the rollerblading, though.
I do love that. I was just making a little joke.
You need to get poulticed after this movie.
I need to get poulticed after this movie. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was so bad about this is that the acting was pretty good, and thus the movie wasn't even funny.
Yeah,
bad.
No, Zabrowski was really giving it his all.
I think everyone was good.
Who's Zabrowski?
Zabrowski was the Witcher.
Oh, okay, I thought he did a good job.
I thought he was great.
It was a slightly different take on. Mm-hmm.
On Geralt.
Well, because we had been talking earlier about how we almost named our cat Grizz Geralt, and how he would have been Jerry or Gary.
Yeah, that's true.
So then I had that in my head.
That's the problem with Geralt as a name, is like in the real world, people are just going to instantly go to Jerry.
They're going to instantly go to Jer.
Jerry or Gary. You could do Gary.
Yeah. Which right. I can't believe in the entirety. Well, Murph, you've read some of the books. Does anyone ever call him Gary in the books?
Absolutely not.
Gare Bear?
Okay. Absolutely no Gare Bear.
Not well, even Yaskier?
One Gare Bear, yeah.
I can see Yaskier pulling that.
Yeah. So one of the reasons this was like kind of a joyless mess is that the acting was pretty good.
Yeah.
So even there was one part that was really funny where he kills a bunch of soldiers in front of a bunch of kids. And it's just so he literally, the guy's like, get him. And then he just throws a spear through his chest and a bunch of children run away.
Yeah.
That part was very funny. Uh-huh. The rest of the movie was not funny. It was just sitting there being like, fuck, I hate this movie.
Some of the special effects, though, had, like, none of the CGI. I don't count any of this, but some of the, like, practical special effects were pleasingly...
terrible?
Bad.
Yeah.
Like, there was the scene where Pavela screams, and, like, she does, like, that sort of sonic scream.
And they put it through, like, an audio thing that makes it legitimately unpleasant to hear.
Well, I was gonna say what happens in the room is that, like, it's, like, the practical, like, tankards exploding, and you just have these shots that you know is just a PA throwing a chair or a candelabra against
a
wall.
There's, like, a fan really hard on the table.
Yeah.
And then it was just, like, stuff they were doing with light. Like, when they were inside that scene, there's at one point where like there's a guy standing in front of a table with minimal set dressing, like just a candelabra.
Oh yeah,
there's nothing hung, there's not even a tapestry behind him, it's just an orange wall, and he's in a cheap costume, and I'm like, this looks like a production of a high school play.
Yeah, but see, that's I think they're pleasingly low budget sometimes, because it does feel like a stage play, so I forgive it. I actually thought the costumes were pretty good except for the Flintstone twins.
Yeah, there were two women that showed up in like leopard print at one point.
Well, it felt like the main characters had good costumes, and then every single background character, that was where they decided to save.
Yeah, at one point Renfri showed up and she looked pretty good, and I was kind of surprised. I was like, huh, this looks like a real character. But anyway, so just to give a light synopsis of what's going on here, because we cannot recommend that you watch this.
No.
This isn't even, it's
although
not
you
even
can see
funny.
It, you can see it just on YouTube, so you can scrub
around. Scrub around. Feel free to scrub.
There are going to be ads.
Yeah.
2 hours. 2 hours of your life you could do something so meaningful.
Two full
with.
Hours.
Uh-huh.
So basically... This was the first attempt to adapt the books, because there wasn't even, the video game wasn't even out yet. This was 2001, and it kind of, like Jake was saying, it was supposed to be a TV show, so it jumps around from story to story while trying to have the kind of ongoing thing of Geralt chasing Ciri. So it's kind of like the Witcher Netflix series, but just so much worse and so much more confusing. And I would say the Witcher Netflix series was pretty confusing with
pretty
the time
confusing.
Jumps.
Yeah.
This was way more confusing.
Yeah.
But like, imagine if all of his missions took place in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yes.
All of season one, each episode is 10 minutes in this.
It would literally cut from somebody talking about something that you thought was going to happen next, and then it would just cut to a different mission. It would be like, that man is a problem. And then it would just cut to a different man. And you'd be like, huh. Well, yes.
That's why there's just were too many characters.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with the story at all, it starts with the Ciri's parents. It starts with the hedgehog guy who comes to claim Pavetta is her name,
Pavetta,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donnie and Pavetta.
Yeah. There's the big fight at the wedding. Geralt helps, and then there's the law of surprise. So he's gonna get Ciri later. So the hedgehog guy. Best looking CGI in the movie. He didn't look that weird.
I think that shit was practical.
Yeah.
You think
I think
it was practical?
It was practical mm-hmm. too.
He looked good.
Yeah.
So that's
the other
why
practical effects were terrible.
Were
aside
terrible.
From the, aside from the tankers blowing up. That was
so the tankers
know, that
looked
was
great.
I like that worm at the beginning.
I think that's one of the problems.
Wait,
with
I think I did too.
Yeah.
The
Are
worm?
You talking about
the
baby the dragon? Looks the dragon cub?
Gonna, no, not gonna the agree cub. To disagree on the freaking worm.
You gotta remember that it's 2001. This is like almost 10 years after Jurassic Park. So it's not like you can forgive.
Right.
Yeah, but
it's a smaller
filmmaking world.
They still made a bad
in
puppet.
Hollywood.
I don't think it's forgivable. They
agreed.
Made a bad puppet.
I think that what makes it a little bit unforgivable is the fact that when you see stuff like the hedgehog, you're like, oh, if you guys just condensed this into a movie where it was just, you know, I think it's the Striga, right, is the story that is also in the TV series where Geralt has to spend like a night in this castle
yeah.
trying to like basically hunt this like vampire woman.
Mm-hmm.
If they had just done a story like that and done practical effects on one human-esque monster, they absolutely could have nailed it.
Because yeah.
there's some good costume design. There's some good set design in some of the castles, in some of the taverns. They look legit, mm-hmm. and just that one monster looks good.
And the acting is great.
The acting's great. Yeah,
I think I can be pretty forgiving of. I think that I'm forgiving of bad puppets. I'm not forgiving of bad CGI.
Totally.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is you could have just used like there's creatures called like drowners and stuff that are just like monsters that come out of the water.
You could have just gotten a guy wet.
You could have just covered a guy in mud
uh-huh.
and had him swing.
Just
Zombies.
Get a muddy guy in there
Zombies
and have him try and attack. Geralt.
More muddy guys.
They might have been excited. Mm. They might have been excited to try.
They were excited to
they
try.
They got so excited about their worm
the
puppet.
Shots that they got to like try to make the puppets work were always just like a super close-up of a tentacle instead of like...
yeah. yeah.
And then they like matched that with Geralt's shots. So it was just
totally.
Like... the fight scenes were almost unwatchable.
So that's
yeah,
another thing is that
bad.
Is that the sword fighting scenes weren't even good. Like
yeah,
when humans
I was
were fighting
say,
humans.
The moment when he didn't... The moment when Geralt like was unhanded and didn't have his sword and just took a couple punches to get his sword back, I was like, I think this is the best fight I've seen the
yeah,
entire
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
Everyone runs at him with their arm up like this, both arms outstretched.
Yeah.
And he kills everyone in one swipe. That's
yeah.
it.
Right.
So
it's supposed
everyone,
to be Geralt is like
everyone
superhuman.
Everyone sneezes yeah. and then falls off their horse.
I think it's supposed to be Geralt is superhuman fighting against good swordsmen and he's just better. But this is just... Geralt's a good swordsman and everyone else is
yeah.
a moron.
It's just Geralt like right. slashing at the camera and then guys going, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
It's like they were spun around 10 times, then someone put a sword in their hands and they
yeah.
just
yeah.
run at him like waving.
Yeah, they yeah. wave it like it's a mace or something or like mm-hmm. a morning star.
Yeah.
What's that? A flail.
I mean, they right. definitely, perhaps. Okay, I'm just fucking
You're
going to
defend it?
No. Well, I'm saying that perhaps it was more realistic than we would think because swords are really heavy.
Yeah.
So they kind of all swung them like they were surprised how heavy the swords were.
It was everyone's first time with a sword.
Yeah.
oh.
So maybe that's truthful to some armies.
Yeah. So this was, so the first
funny.
The first thing was him establishing the law of surprise uh-huh. with Ciri. So it's Ciri's parents. Then it cuts to, God, I have no, I don't even
I think then
remember.
We go to the gold dragon.
Oh my God. Then it goes to that gold dragon thing, which was not great CGI. It looked like,
okay, but at least in my favorite moment.
Your favorite moment?
Ooh. Deeply.
Yeah.
yeah. My favorite moment is when they're all like staring over the cliff at the gold dragon and like clearly the actors had not seen the CGI yet. So the reactions are all like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Is it nature amazing?
It is yeah. mean to do to actors, right?
Yeah.
To
it
have them
like,
talk about
yeah.
how good something looks and then put in the worst
and then
CGI.
Put in a cinematic from Warcraft 2
yeah.
in like 1993.
Fucking like Pete's dragon ass looking thing with
yeah.
big eyes.
It looked like it did look like children's animation
yeah.
too.
The
like
thing,
big eyes.
The thing
what, girl?
Is that they didn't have to do any of this. Like I understand.
No.
I know that you don't have a big budget, but you don't have to do the dragon story.
My favorite part though was there was a little puppet dragon cub
yeah!
that Yennefer right. chases, and then she gets the dragon cub, and then I don't know what happens to her for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, she's just gone.
She's just gone. But Geralt helps her get this dragon cub, and then shoos everyone away who was trying to kill the dragon cub, and then it's him, Yasker, Yennefer, and the dragon cub, and he says, "Well, looks like it's just you, me, a dragon cub, and a poet." And I was like, "Wow, beautiful."
I'd watch that show.
Yeah,
because the dragon cub kind of looked like one of the little aliens from Men in Black, and it's yeah. just like a little practical puppet going.
It kind of looks like Figment from Disney.
Oh God, that's little, probably like, why.
All these dragons were Figment-ass dragons.
Very Figment-esque.
Get back to fucking Epcot with these dragons. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So it literally cuts from this establishing that Ciri's parents are getting together to. Geralt at a bar with this dude who is just being kind of fishy the whole time and is just keeps talking about dragons for some reason.
Yeah,
this was probably supposed to be a beginning of an episode.
Yes. So this was obviously, and they did this in the book and they did this in the Witcher TV show, which is this guy is like on a mission, but it turns out that he's secretly the dragon that everybody's trying to hunt.
Yeah.
This dragon basically reveals himself at some point, stops, like kills a bunch of the hunters dropping rocks on them.
It's beautiful.
And everyone says it's beautiful.
That scene is cool when he, because he starts the rock slide by flipping a coin onto a bunch of pebbles, and then the pebbles start cascading down the hill.
That's one of his horde powers.
A good scene was when Geralt was drunk and he was talking to, I believe, the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was talking about, I don't remember this from the TV show that we watched or the video game that we played. He was talking about how, like, the guy was like, "Is there any monster you won't kill?" And Geralt's like, "Dragons." Because dragons ran away from humans. Mm-hmm. So men hunt dragons. Dragons hunt sheep and everything else, but they don't hunt humans. And I was like, whoa, this is pretty sick.
Yeah, I want to put one point on the good Geralt counter, because this actor, I feel like, really had some like fun Geralt moments that like set him apart and like really made me enjoy watching him.
Yeah.
And like him like passionately defending dragons and like getting a little heated and like looked like he was about to start a bar fight with this guy about dragons was really great.
And then the Flintstones babes were like macking on him and he was just still talking about how beautiful he thought dragons were.
I've seen this guy at a bar doing this exact thing.
It was a real move that he only asked one of the women what their name was. Yeah. They're both falling on him and he turns to the left and he says, "What's your name?" And then she tells him, he says, "That's pretty." And then it cuts.
Just like in a world that has absolutely never seen a leopard and they're wearing leopard skin dresses.
Yeah.
That's a thing that is just like, just don't do leopard print. Yeah. Like either just get some fur that looks real.
Yeah. There's definitely like bears here. Yeah. There's wolves. Don't do leopard. It looks so Halloween costume fake.
It was
so,
very Halloween costume.
You're probably wondering, how did we get from this wedding with the hedgehog guy to the dragon? It just cuts there.
I think a couple panoramic shots of nature. There was some really beautiful nature.
That
some
is
really
true.
Beautiful countryside in there.
Their exteriors were on point.
So we probably just saw the sun setting over Poland.
Yeah. But that's because at this point in the movie, we haven't met Yaskir yet. I think we meet Yaskir in this scene. And then every subsequent transition is accompanied by Yaskir singing a weird song about Geralt.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great, but like, the bard is very fun. Yaskir, the actor, does a very good job, but he's like not that good a singer.
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah.
His singing voice is okay, but like the lyrics he's trying to sing just don't seem to fit for some reason. So it's always just him being like, "And then the sunflower fell and the petals drifted across the beach, and so too did Geralt go to another land."
Yeah. Just the screenwriter was just like, "Please hire a musician." They're like, "Nah, this is fine.
This guy's good enough.
We got an actor who knows how to hold an instrument."
Yeah. Let's finish just doing a quick description, because literally nothing happens in this fucking movie. Well, everything happens and so nothing happens, if that makes sense.
That's true. That's
so
good, yeah.
After the dragon, who the fuck knows what happens? He ends up going to, he's at a temple with like a bunch of like sorceresses.
With Mother Ninike.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there he meets Ciri, who had run away from Sintra when it was burned. That was like her kingdom.
They show the War of Sintra with one shot, which is just like a flame transition on a castle.
That
it was
wild.
Adobe Photoshop, yeah.
To be like, wait, it's over? Okay.
Yeah, it's
over.
Done.
Okay. So they're at this Sorceress's Temple. He meets Ciri.
Ciri applies poultice to his wounds.
Applies poultice to a wound.
Our second poultice application.
Second poultice of
fat sack of herbs on our boy.
Yeah, we're half an hour in. This man's had herbs rubbed on him twice.
He got to get wrist guards.
They've got like a little connection. He's hanging out at the temple, and then there's a seer that's like, ruin is coming here. We've got to get away. And he's like, cool, I'll take Ciri and go. And the mother there is like, no, you won't. And he's like, okay. So he leaves without her. And then bad guys come. In this 2-hour movie, for some reason, they introduce Nilfgaard, the like empire, but then also Redania, the like racist army. They introduce two like factions that just did not need to be in this, because it's not what it was about.
If it was a TV shows all the time.
Yeah. And also, you know, you can have multiple factions in a movie, but for the purposes of this movie, it was just people were hunting Ciri. You did not need everybody involved.
Is Redania the goatee guy?
Yes.
Okay, like the Order of the White Rose or whatever.
But here's the even fucking weirder thing. Not only were there two factions, that guy was also betraying his officers that were higher up than him. He was his commanding officers.
Is that the guy that told Geralt he was going to kill him in the beginning of the movie?
In the beginning of the movie, they show Geralt getting transformed into a witcher, and he catches a bandit doing bandit stuff and tells on him, and then the bandit's like, I'm going to get you someday. And Geralt's like, no, I'm going to get you.
Actually, this is crazy because this movie came out in 1988, but that's kind of the premise of Child's Play, the Chucky movie.
It
is. That is kind of, we did watch Chucky last night, so it's fresh in our minds.
Yeah, I guess the only difference is that he doesn't die and have his spirit put in a doll. Did I miss that part?
I feel like the most important part of Child's Play is actually the criminal's revenge story. Yeah. That's what everyone wants to wait for.
What's up with this doll stuff? Come on, let's get through this.
So where were we? This bad guy that was a bandit who's working for the second faction, who's working against the second faction, comes to this temple, kills everyone, but Ciri gets out. Then Geralt basically gets into it with Nilfgaard and the Redania guys. This guy is found out to be a snake that he's hiding Ciri. Geralt,
not an actual snake. Not a literal snake.
I have to clarify.
Geralt and this guy. Geralt kills this guy in one hit.
Oh, yeah.
One shot.
He kills everybody in one hit.
There's no...
Well, they had a lot of plot to cover, so they didn't have time for him to take more than one shot to kill people.
Right. Yeah.
Geralt will just have everyone have a heart attack as they approach Geralt.
That's essentially what happens.
That's a good theory. That his sword blows cause heart attacks in the people that they land upon.
He soaked his blade in heart attack oil.
In belladonna poison.
He one hit kills this guy, and then he goes to help literally another guy kill another monster. It's like a fifth story.
The guy with the like Conestoga wagon in the castle. Yeah.
Who also wakes him up with a drink, not poultice.
It could have been a bunch of herbs that could have been in a poultice, but he decided, well, I don't want to do women's healer work. I'm going to give him a drink.
I'm going to give him a drink.
Let's call it three poultices so far.
And then Geralt goes home with this guy. The woman there had, his wife had adopted Ciri because Ciri had run away from the second time.
Yeah.
Geralt ran into Ciri. So Ciri escaped the temple.
So she just keeps on showing up wherever he is. She's not really doing any seeking. Yeah.
It is destiny. It is the child's surprise.
She was captured during that scene where Geralt was killing all of the guys in front of children, which is the only funny scene in the movie.
Can I bring up something that was different in this movie compared to what I have seen?
Cool.
Geralt's beard is black?
No, it wasn't that. They reveal at one point that Geralt was a child of surprise.
Yeah. I think
is that true of the books?
No.
Or the
really?
TV
That's
show?
The one thing they add in?
They add a ton of stuff in it. Right. The movie's terrible. and the books are okay. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
and
but like, that's not in the books, though. The child surprise thing?
I don't think so.
I mean, I like it because anytime someone says the phrase child surprise, I laugh a little bit. So more times they can say it, the better.
Like, that beginning was just like everyone being like, you know what? I'm also a child surprise. Wait, you're a child surprise? I'm a child surprise.
It's such a weird thing to claim as a reward, too. It's like, what do you, you saved my life. What do you want? I would like the responsibility of a baby, please.
I am completely incorrect. Geralt himself is a victim of the law of surprise. It was because of the law of surprise that Geralt was taken in as a witcher. I am fucking incorrect.
Well,
so this movie is just canon. I'm sorry, everybody.
It is the most accurate telling.
Yeah.
We can't knock it for that.
Which makes sense. It's the first telling, right?
Yeah. You want to get everything right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that the law of surprise specifically is like, it's not that it's you not get their baby. It's just like anytime they have like a windfall of fortune or like anything comes to them, it's pretty vague.
It seems kind of awesome, right?
Yeah.
If someone's like, oh, thank you so much. And you're trying to kind of shrug off like, it's fine. It's fine. Don't worry
just
about
give
it.
Give me the next thing.
Just, I don't know. Like, give me the
just
next.
Pay me back.
Give me the next thing that you go home and you find out that you have. Like thinking it's going to be like, oh, I got this like credit card delivered in the mail.
Right.
If somebody declared law of surprise on us, they would get a cat every time. Every time.
Yeah, it's.
I wish people would more law.
I wish people would declare more law of surprises
please
on us.
Law of surprise.
I would love just like a check, honestly, if I could just have a check instead. But you want law of surprise again?
Yeah, here's a bunch of kittens.
Okay, geez. I mean, just like, do you have like a, I don't know, like a car you could give me? No, the car's full of cats.
I mean, law of surprise. Literally, I'm always surprised by all the new cats that show up.
Yeah.
Child Surprise does sound like a 90s toy brand.
Yeah. I was going to say, it seems like one of those little, like, don't know what's going to come in the box. You buy, like, the little surprise box.
And it's
like,
it's a blind
child
box.
Surprise. I wonder what kind of child will be in here.
Yeah, that was Pound Puppies. You didn't know how many dogs were going to be in there.
Yeah.
That's freaking true.
Yeah.
Which is so messed up, right? Because, that's like, it's devastating when you don't get that many.
Right.
I think they probably mostly, I think they said you could get like 3 to 5. And
but when you get three, you know you got
the
lowest.
You must be so pissed.
Yeah.
That, I bet you nobody got three.
I
bet you that
like,
was a marketing thing.
I feel like
thing.
I remember someone getting three.
Really? That's devastating.
Like I would sue.
The fun part of Pound Puppies isn't the dogs. It's getting to do a live dog birth delivery.
Yeah, it's true.
And
it's
like you can do that as many times as you want.
It's getting to see a dog in labor.
It's crazy when you're a little girl how many maternity things people give you. Yeah, I had like multiple Barbies that had like stomachs you could push in and put a baby in there and stuff like that. It's
the
so
babies that
creepy.
Could piss were also so funny. It's like, here's a doll that you don't have to worry about, but like, let's give it an accident. Let's make it piss.
Let's let it piss a little bit.
Kids love that shit. Kids.
And then the tubes always get funky, and then the baby just fills up with water.
I love my mildew baby.
But yeah, in this movie, they did the whole like Ciri and Geralt story of like Geralt chasing Ciri and them coming together. They did that. Plus, they did the Hedgehog marriage story. Mm-hmm. They did the Gold Dragon. They did the Butcher of Blaviken, where Renfri and the bandits show up and cause trouble with Stregobor.
Oh yeah, Stregobor's up in there.
Stregobor's up in there. Good God, we can't escape him. And then there's the swamp monster guy that he fights.
Yeah, I was going to say the swamp monster fight was probably the one that I feel like they got the least coverage for.
Uh-huh.
Because that fight was just like, I think that they had maybe 3 shots total.
Yeah. And did he fight that monster twice, or did they just kind of have 2 identical monsters back to back?
Always with the vines.
Yeah.
It's always with the vines.
Well, I think that's kind of like a recurring theme with like Polish folklore and monsters is like something's going to get you.
Something's in the swamp.
Something's going to try and get you. Do not go near
the
water.
Swamp, something's but there in was the forest.
For the like hedgehog guy looking pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, honest to God, B+ on the head.
We love a Dooney.
We love
a Dooney in this house.
I liked the big creature he brought out of the cave when he met everyone.
That dragon?
Oh, he just like
when he was wearing a headband for no reason.
Oh, the basilisk? Yeah, he showed up at one point dragging a basilisk wearing a headband. And
so funny because like clearly everyone was like, this isn't working for you, Geralt. And then you never see him with it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just got made fun of one time and was just like, I guess I lost it.
He talked to the agent.
Did you take off the headband because we made fun of you?
It fell off.
I really liked it, but I probably...
The Striga, it took it from me.
It's going to take me a while to find a new one that fits correctly. Until then, we should all forget about it. We should all forget it ever happened.
Yeah, I guess nothing is as cool as your wolf necklace.
What's wrong with my wolf necklace? What the hell? What are you talking about? Oh, shit. Oh, got caught on this branch. I think the chain broke. Shit. I better leave it here.
He Everyone did take the wolf no. necklace off, though, to have some tasteful lovemaking with Yennefer. I noticed that, and I thought it was a little strange. Mm-hmm. Why do you have to take your necklace off to make love?
Right, that's why she's fucking you in the first place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wolf necklace is cool. You leave that
she
off.
She wants the visual.
Mm-hmm. We talk about how Yennefer was introduced by saying, as you know, I can't have children, so I'm looking for a way to do that. Like, that is like the first line she speaks in this.
There's some, I mean, a lot of this stuff is just the YouTube translation thing mm-hmm. of there's just some stuff that's like not going to translate perfectly. Yeah, like at one point the guy comes out and because this is obviously this is all in Polish and a guy comes out to face the very bad CGI dragon that looks like a 1993 CGI from Warcraft. And he says, you're a bad dragon. And I, I think probably what the original line is probably like, you nasty beast or something like that. It's probably something like that, but he just like calls him bad, like he's naughty or something. And it's just kind of funny. Dragon. And
then you've been a very bad boy.
Then that dude gets one shot tail swiped by the CGI dragon.
I thought that was a cool shot for like all the effects that were really bad. The POV through the visor with just a tail swinging towards him.
That was a good way to get around it.
Yeah, the helmet flying in the air as he clearly dies.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No candelabra getting thrown against a wall.
Yeah, but every once in a while they like show that they've got these tricks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And even like the castle at the beginning at the wedding we were talking about just looks like it's in a VFW hall or at like a wedding reception.
It was
in New Jersey.
Definitely just like they were like, cool, so all we need to do is put some tablecloth on the
just
tables.
Some tablecloths down, right? And have some knights sit down.
Tablecloths on the tables, on the walls, on the ceilings. Just cover everything in tablecloths.
So we have a bunch of red tablecloths.
The taverns and stuff later looked really good.
Oh, dude, the taverns looked great. I wanted to like LARP in this world.
I know. So there was one part where it looked straight out of the, when he first meets Dandelion Yaskier, mm-hmm. It looked straight out of how he meets him in the 2021 or the 2020 year.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we think, again, we're experimenting with different like perspectives to see this. Do we think it's possible that their budget got increased since it was being filmed like a TV show that they're starting to see dailies? They're like, we really got something here. Let's put a little more money into it.
Emily, I would say that, but like the last fight scene is like Geralt versus like four basically CGI Yoshis.
Oh, there were dinosaurs. He did fight. Yes.
I thought they were kind of cute, though.
They were definitely cute, but not menacing.
Again, if they had been puppets, it could have worked.
But yeah, that's what is really strange about this, instead of leaning into the things that work, like just having practical effects on humanoid monsters.
Well, I don't know that the
monsters.
Practical effects work. They just work for me.
No, but they're better. They're just better. Like, why have
just give
CGI
a dude horns?
Why have CGI horns dinosaurs when you could just have a guy with horns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that CGI was definitely not impressive for the time. And at the very least, the practical stuff would be like in line with other practical.
Yeah.
Or it's like got some charm to it, you know?
Yeah.
I was looking up what other movies came out in 2001.
Okay. Is fun.
Yeah. We got Not Another Teen Movie. Our show's namesake. And then Donnie Darko, How High, Black Hawk Down, and Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, Black Hawk Down, though, has terrible CGI.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats CGI is incredible.
I've never seen. The helicopter is all CGI.
I believe the Hexer
it
was
has
made...
big cartoon eyes.
Everybody hop in.
Okay, Josie and the Pussycats. Let's go ahead and look at
I loved that movie. Okay. I can't say whether or not it deserved my
no,
love.
No, it well, okay.
Should we just take a break and watch that and then talk about that?
I can't tell you if it was good or bad. I have no idea, but I can tell you it was a huge box office flop because the budget it says was 22 to 39 million.
Wow. The Witcher?
No.
The Hexer?
Josie and the Pussycats.
Mm-hmm. Why are we doing that?
Because I want to give comparison because it would have been really, really fucking hard for them to make this good. They really would have had to lean into their strengths, which is like practical effects, making it spooky, making it like quiet and stuff. Like horror movies have low budgets. This was made for $4 million, mm-hmm. which compared to Josie and the Pussycats,
whoa.
Which was $22 to $40 million. So probably, let's say around $30 million.
Wait, so the Hexer was made for $4 million?
Yes.
I just watched American Psycho. It was made for $6 million. And American Psycho.
Wow.
Was...
Horror movies.
But the dragon looks terrible in that movie.
The dragon looks really bad in American Psycho, to be fair to the Hexer.
Whoa, did you guys know that? Oh, it's just dubbing. Never mind. The guy, Michal Zabrowski, who plays Geralt in this film, dubs the Polish version of Doctor Strange.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
Isn't that fun?
He was great. Everyone was really good. That's Michal. Kind of... Yeah. The woman who is like the prophet in the one scene.
In like the cult or the temple.
She was really good. Yeah. Everybody was good. That's why it was, if everybody was like laughably bad.
Is that lady murdered
bad,
off screen, by the way?
Yes. Or everyone was murdered off screen.
Most people were.
That whole,
she was such a big part of the story. And yeah, Geralt at some point just says like, I went there and they were all dead or something. Like, I didn't see that.
No, they find, he goes to a bar like in the next town, and he's like, did you hear what happened at the temple? They killed everybody, just like the prophet fucking said would happen.
He also dubs Geralt in the Netflix.
Fuck yeah,
sick.
Oh, isn't that's that cool.
Whoa. So he is true Geralt. Wow. He's as Geralt as Cavill, if not more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think they've ever met?
Two
Geralts?
I'm gonna say no.
There is a doppelganger monster in Witcher.
Yeah, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would make sense. The two.
I feel like they would have to, right? You'd kind of have like, oh, a little. I feel like probably Cavill, if you're a Witcher fan,
you
have the opportunity to meet like both the guy who voices the video game, the guy who voices the original rendition of it.
Yeah.
You would not turn that down.
Do you think that Cavill met Zabrowski and was like, I'm thinking for my take on the character, I'm just going to have like a perfectly sculpted ass and tight leather pants. And like, it's the camera's really going to focus on my beautiful ass. What do you think about that, Zeb?
Having trouble finding a picture immediately of them together.
Well, you keep looking for that. I just do want to give a quick shout out to Dove Large Promises, which was the ad I saw while watching this on YouTube. Apparently, they've got large little Dove candies now. You know, Dove was like little like nice dark chocolate treats.
Uh-huh.
Now they have Large Promises now.
Are you sincerely excited about this?
Here's the thing about like the Dove little candies is they're too small. It's like a nice little treat.
Are those the same guys that make the soap? The Dove chocolates and soap? Is it all the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same shape. Just like little ovals.
Exact same shape.
Really weird.
Some of them are ovals and are soap and you clean yourself with. Some of them are messy chocolates. They get all over your mouth.
The Dove candies, they're one of the candies that are marketed where it's like, you're a lady and you're going to take a little bath and have a sneaky little treat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a sexy chocolate commercial. Mm-hmm. It's a sneaky little treat for you.
And that's what I like about Dove Large Promises is like, it's not a sneaky little treat anymore. Like you're wearing your Dove badge proud. You're having a big snack out in public.
You didn't skip the ads, right? You never skipped the ads because you felt the movie wasn't long enough.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm more into like Reese's and stuff and not eating soap. But
it's not
whatever
soap.
You're into.
I told you the brown ovals are chocolate. The white ovals are soap. It's so easy. Have you not seen the commercial?
Seen the commercials?
Why do you eat soap?
You eat soap and it's fucking
just
weird.
Just one time I mixed them up.
You fucking love suds, dude.
You love suds.
I had a chocolatey sud bath and honestly it was kind of nice and it awoken something in me and now I've got to deal with that. I've got to come to terms with the fact that I like nasty little chocolate baths.
He likes to eat soap. Let's go ahead and let's all try to say nice little things about this movie.
Yeah.
I'll say, okay, first off, actors not at fault for this. You did your damn best.
I think so.
You did your damn best.
I thought they did a good job.
Other thing, there was one moment that was legitimately cool. There was one moment that was funny.
Are you talking about the dragon cub?
No, the dragon cub was not cool.
Help me.
That was fucking weird. That was
absolutely
weird.
He didn't talk, did he?
He might as well have.
He talked in my version.
He might as well have. There was a moment where Geralt is challenging the like main bad guy to a fight. And he's like, go ahead, you can use all your guys. And then the people who are watching go to give him a sword. And he like waves them off. He's like, no, it's okay, I'll take theirs. And
that was
like,
sick.
Only good line in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only cool line.
Wait, I thought another good line was when a guy like pulled a weapon on him and he's like, I see you don't have a weapon. And he's like, what did he say? He was like, I travel with my weapons. And then then unfortunately it was ruined by the two women coming out in Flintstones costumes. He was like, I don't carry my weapons. I travel with them. And then like the reveal should have been his two sick bodyguards, but it was definitely like, oh, those are Halloween.
Those are the Halloween
Flintstones
costume.
Halloween costumes. Yeah.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Jake, what's your happy Hexer moment?
I think I had a general happy Hexer time. Like, basically, any time before Geralt fought, I thought was really cool. Like, yeah. Him in the blindfold with the guy, like, 1v1ing him was super
sick.
Fun.
Yeah.
There was also a one really cool shot where there was an archer shooting at him, and he, like, deflected an arrow with a sword, kind of standard.
Mm-hmm. That was a cool shot, though.
But then he's walking towards him, and he just sidesteps one of the arrows, and I thought that was really cool.
That was cool. That's the thing, is that, like, we're seeing some tricks here. We're seeing some directorial tricks.
I also got to shout out the guy who played Geralt, because I feel like at least I did, and I would imagine all of us, we really like the Geralt that we've seen.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, often that's a hard hurdle to get over. Mm-hmm. And and
it's an ass-shaped hurdle, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a huge cavil ass-shaped hurdle that I need to leap over a cavil ass-sized hurdle
once you
to get to a place of liking a new Geralt. And you know what? I soared over that cavil ass.
I just slid down the beautiful ass right into Zabrowski Town, and it was great. I think that, like, the way they handled, like, the Witcher powers was cool too. They were a little cheesy at times, but, like, generally Geralt's, like, kind of, like, push ability, or, like, just the way he kind of, like, charged up energy and, like, dispelled it.
Yeah,
it was very, like, minimal. I liked that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I guess in the video games, you're, like, literally drawing little runes in the sky, and, like, that doesn't work quite as well. But, like, I thought it was nicely handled here. I also really liked the relationship between Geralt and Jaskier in this. They were, like, chummy in a way that I enjoyed.
Yeah, because they're a bit antagonistic in the TV show, at least in the first season. He's more like, oh, fine, follow me.
Yeah.
But in this, they were, like, more calm.
Yeah, it was more in this. It was more like, yes, gear, you old dog.
Yeah.
I think, like, it was
just you, me, a dragon cub, and a poet.
Let's all move into a VFW hall together.
You bring the folding tables, I'll bring the cloth.
Geralt had the energy of just a real regular guy, but that has, like, a crazy high school friend that he sees every once in a while.
Yeah.
He's like, Joey's here, we're gonna have a good time. We're absolutely gonna go nuts at this
Buffalo
Wild
Wings. Joey brought his loot.
Oh my god. Yeah. Dude.
Wait till you hear this guy. The lyrics make no sense, but he's gonna shred on that loot.
Yo, Joey's about to recap the plot. Everyone get over here.
Yeah, again, all the actors did a good job. The Yaskier did some like cool like a coin trick at one point. I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It looked cool. Yeah.
No, I think like similar to Geralt, I was really pumped whenever Yaskier showed up. Because like he was having a good time. He cracked some jokes. There was one moment where like the guy was like, oh, did you enjoy your drink? And he was like, actually, like that blissful moment is sipping away from me. Can you please offer me another one?
Yeah.
And he kind of played it like cheekily. As I'm saying it out loud, it doesn't sound like a joke, but his performance really added something to it.
Yeah, they didn't lean into any kind of humor. Because I don't know. The books aren't very funny.
The one thing that I thought was maybe not a joke, but very funny to me is there's like a guard and Geralt says, are you going to spit in my face too? And the guy like leans back to hawk a loogie and Geralt just punches him in the face as he does it.
Yeah, Geralt ruled in this. It's really hard to make a Geralt that doesn't rule.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Geralt is sick.
I think what's great about like the Geralt of the games and the Geralt of like the Witcher series is like the kind of funny curmudgeon. And I think that comes through a little bit in the books. It doesn't really come through here. Like this is a pretty joyless movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's another like gripe that I have with this movie that didn't need to be there. Like even with the not a great budget, you can have, you know, things feel kind of like more like a horror movie.
Certainly.
Like The Witcher has great flavor. It has great aesthetics and they didn't lean into that at all. Like it's pretty much just like being at a medieval times.
Do you know what was kind of a pet peeve of mine is it felt like whenever we weren't actively in battle, it was just like shots of like five people standing in a row.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it's always like
it's just like five people in a row having a conversation and not really not cutting in closer or anything like that. I know obviously there's production limitations, but I was like, please just give me a one shot.
One crowd.
That's the TV show. It was a multicam sitcom and then they stitched it together to be a movie.
This was
when they
Sheldon,
made it a movie,
yeah.
They just edited out Sheldon. All the laughter.
Geralt is old Sheldon.
Right, yeah. In the conjunction of the spheres, Sheldon goes to the Witcherverse.
The great Bazinga.
The butcher of Bazinga.
The butcher of Bazinga.
I really liked that during like the scene where the Hedgehog Knight shows up, they're all having like a banquet and it seems like they gave them actual like food to eat and you just see them all like picking at like greasy little birds.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? This is like a sparsely attended feast. They're clearly like trying to cover the crowd with just a few shots. But I want to be there. I want to LARP in this world. I don't want to like watch it on TV, but I want to be a fucking part of it.
As someone who's done a little bit of TV, I guarantee that food smelled fucking nasty.
Oh, yeah.
And
so
the actors
cold.
Were sitting there being like, Jesus fucking Christ, why did they get real food? It is stinking.
Yeah.
I can't believe they got 40 pounds of pheasant.
It stinks like fucking pheasant in here. Oh, when are they going to call cut? I need a gag.
And y'all had a lot of pheasant when you were filming Hot Date, right?
Yeah.
I've had to barf a lot of times. And I'm sure, Jake, you've probably had to barf a lot in Jake and Amir.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's always interesting like what they give you to
cold
barf.
Cold clam chowder is used.
That is insane. Sometimes. That no one has ever given me cold clam chowder. That's cruel.
Yeah, we did oatmeal with almond milk, and it was pretty tasty.
Oh. Yeah, I feel like oatmeal that you like can color different colors. Is
I feel like I've
standard.
Had soup. Uh-huh. I've had soup for sure. Like
I've definitely had soup because I remember the sodium taste just
yeah.
from having it.
Yeah,
and it's so cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's like fuck. But that soup looks a lot better than the oatmeal. The soup looks way
yeah.
more.
Yeah,
a nice split pea soup.
Yeah,
I mean ideally,
nicely.
Ideally, you just get a nasty soup, and that makes you actually
and that makes
vomit.
You actually vomit. Yeah.
That's a little insider Yucky. Trick for you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that scene in particular, that, like, dinner scene was really bad looking. Like, there, considering how good the taverns
except
looked later.
Except I enjoyed when she screamed, and then
everyone,
production assistants just threw yep. chairs and candelabras against the wall.
It was one of those screams that was so long, you could see her kind of, like, looking back and forth to see if, like, they were calling
like,
cut.
Like, are we going to cut this? Are yeah. we good?
No,
she was
going.
One of the characters who I literally thought was two characters for a long time.
I didn't even think that the scream was doing any supersonic thing. Mm-hmm. Like, for a while she was just screaming and I was like, oh, she's yelling, and people were like, it seemed like they were running into the room, but then I realized they were running out of the room and I was like, yeah. They did not portray this right at all. It just seemed like she was howling.
My hot take is that screams as a power never work. They never look cool.
Mm. I think that they could hypothetically look cool. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that like you really would have to do such cool sound design on it to make it feel fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I bet someone could, but you would have to really commit that.
Yeah. Maybe if you got like the person that designed like Godzilla's original scream.
I think you'd want to almost like put it through like underwater filters and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I noticed that they pitched hers down.
Mm-hmm.
You need good effects for stuff like that, I think.
It needs to be good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it needs to be good.
Right.
Which is tough.
Like, low-key, this was also a bad TV show. So it's not like they ruined it by making it a movie.
Although, if this was, I think the fact that it's a movie does make it harder to watch, where if we were just watching like weekly like a Hercules or Xena type show and there was something with like bad CGI, you'd kind of accept it a little better maybe. Right.
But also I think that those shows are like a little more tongue-in-cheek. They're having a little more fun.
That's the thing, is there's no leaning into the fun of it, but there's also no leaning into the horror of it. You know what I mean? Like there's no action, the fighting of it.
There's nothing.
So the music
it's just a bunch of shots of people standing next to each other.
The music of the like transitional shots and stuff is good, but then there's like no action music. There's nothing like driving the action. There's no like, you know, like drums or anything like that.
And there were some fucking bongos in the intro. It sounded like a Guster song. I was super into it.
A Guster song?
I love Guster.
You mean Guster vibes?
What the fuck is wrong with you?
That's where you go and you think of bongos?
We were on the same page about finally not liking a movie together. And then you go and drop Guster when we're talking about like beautiful Polish music.
Well, it sounded like May Parade. Great song.
Jesus Christ.
This was my biggest frustration, is it looked like, I literally looked like I could have like wandered into the woods and stumbled upon this LARP happening. And like, I could have fought Geralt.
It would have been a good LARP.
You could have got one-shotted by Geralt.
Absolutely.
They direct you. All right, remember, just wave your sword wildly over your head and run at him sideways.
Remember, your sword is so heavy. It's going to take you at least a minute to get it over your head.
Is this really how heavy swords are? This can't be right.
This can't be right.
No! Oh, he actually hit me!
Oh my god, I'm dead! I'm so dead! He called the actor by his real name. He's the worst actor of all time.
Oh,
damn! This sword's heavy. Zabrowski, I'll get you.
They would fucking leave all that in, too.
Yeah.
And Zabrowski doesn't speak English, so he doesn't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just thinks I'm doing a really good job acting.
Yeah. Wow, that guy really sold it. Good Lord. Yeah. Really tough stuff. I feel like they were hurt by their budget, obviously, which is like completely understandable. And then the fact that I guess they pivoted from a TV show, which was news.
No,
to
they
me.
Didn't pivot. They made it as a TV show and then strung it together as a movie. The movie released first as sort of a like promo for the TV show.
Whoa.
So it was in theaters and people hated it. And then they released the TV show a year afterwards.
That's actually really funny,
what
though.
A terrible idea.
I love the marketer who came up with
that. Yeah, it's like, you saw the movie. Now, what if it was longer?
No, what if it was short and broken up? Yeah, okay, so it probably wasn't even a good as a TV show, but I could see like the individual stories like kind of serving a TV show a lot better.
Well, yeah, you're basically just saying The Witcher is good, which it is.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I really wish if they didn't have a big budget, which they didn't, I wish that they would have just leaned into the horror of it and just been like, cool, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of horror movies are just, it's like the one location or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like literally watched The Witch last night.
Yeah.
And, it was sick.
And that had like a $5 million budget. It was only like, obviously
we
more technology.
It was made in
like 2016. So much easier to make something now.
Oh yeah.
But still.
It
it's
actually
like,
had the same budget as this.
Wait.
Yeah. It had a pretty similar budget.
$4 million budget.
So y'all watched Chucky and The Witch last night before watching
Child's
this
Play,
movie.
And then this morning we watched this movie.
Okay. Cause I had a similar, experience that set me up for failure with this movie, where I watched the second half of My Neighbor Totoro with my wife and daughter, and then we watched the finale of House of the Dragon.
Okay.
And then we watched this.
Yeah, we all watched a lot of good stuff and then watched this, which makes it tough, I think. I think watching it in a vacuum is...
That's the ideal way to
do it. I think that my main problem with it is I think I wouldn't even go into like the nuance of like what they could have done. I think the thing I wish they did differently was maybe introduce a few less characters.
Yeah, that's but like lean into the horror movie. Just be like, we're just at the one location this episode. Yeah. We're just at the one location for this thing.
Right.
Like,
pick one thing to do well.
Yeah. Murph brings up a very good point, which is like, you do not need a lot for a good horror movie. As long as you've got someone who is naked and pale, you're good to go.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm saying, like, you take the Blumhouse approach. I'm pretty sure in The Witch, there's some naked and pale people, yes, like, dancing around fire at some point.
I also recently watched, there's a lot of, like, naked older women as horror, right, as horror monsters. Because I also,
they have to be soaking wet.
I watched
wet
that
too.
And Barbarian.
Oh, yeah.
Like, pretty close to each other. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, Jake's got the right of it. You have the trifecta: naked, pale, wet. And then you're good to go.
Wet is ideal. They have to be sopping wet just out of the bath.
Yeah.
That's how you know they're there to murder you.
Yeah, just have like a feral ass vampire. Like, why? We don't need so many vine monsters. So many vine monsters.
Although so many freaking blights in this movie.
Although the vines are easy. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to go ahead and give it a good old, even though we might change the name of it, we don't know. Maybe we'll tease changing the name. That way, everyone who's mad about it can get used to it. Mm-hmm. And then when we change it, it won't be a big surprise. But let's go ahead and give it a good old Ape Hitbook Club, A to J.
Love it.
A for skip it. And J, of course, for just gotta see it.
Okay, I'm going to give it a D for Dragon Cub Puppet.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it a B for Beautiful Dragon. So majestic.
I love just like the actors watching that scene and being like shrinking in their
seat. Geralt passionately defending dragons for 10 minutes and then this CGI monstrosity.
And then this goofy ass figment shows up.
Huge eyed dragon.
Yeah. It's interesting because Figment kind of has the same thing, because if you go on that Figment ride, right. Figment's annoying as fuck.
The new ride is terrible.
Yeah, he looks... It's not new. It's so old.
Maybe I just remembered it. Just remember it.
Figment, I think that maybe as a mascot, is very cute.
Yeah. I think that maybe when I was younger, I had a stuffed animal Figment and had never
been
on
the ride.
Animal.
Great stuffed animal. Terrible guy.
Very good,
orange and purple, great color combo.
Because Figment is the mascot for Epcot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the little duck that's also an orange any day of the week. If you're talking about Disneyland mascots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like Figment can absolutely hang.
Yeah.
Okay, Murph and Jake, you didn't give it a reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this No, I'm not going to... it's definitely don't fucking waste your time watching this goddamn movie. Okay.
So kind of like a tut-tut, like a
Well, I realized I was starting to sound like I was saying I, and that would be a really good score.
No.
And I don't like it.
That's what I like about our score, is we get most of the vowels in there.
Yeah.
What about you, Jake?
I was going to say G for Guster, but that's...
That's so good. That's also so good.
But it's really good. So let's go ahead and say, skip everything and just watch the ads. So like, okay, if you do the reverse, we watched it on YouTube. So I would prefer, if I had to watch this again, I'd watch every single ad break and not...
Wait, Jake, I have a question. This came out in 2001. Would Guster have been a band then? Could they hypothetically
Guster was definitely
the soundtrack. So they hypothetically... So when you got excited, it was actually like based on reality. It could have been Guster.
It should have been Guster.
Could and should. Well, here's the thing. They're making a third season of The Witcher. Ed Sheeran was in Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. Guster could be in Witcher.
In Witcher 3, mm-hmm. Guster. He'd be okay,
like, Yaskier's like, ah, Geralt, you must meet my companions.
Jake, do you think you could pick the guys in Guster out of a lineup?
I think so. Because
are you a Guster fan or are you all Bluster?
I'm a huge Guster fan. I haven't listened to them in a while, but I used to be a huge fan, and I don't think anything's changed.
This is our new Man on the Street segment, Guster or Bluster.
And we play two different jam bands.
Actually, I don't know any of their names, but I could tell you which guy sings which songs and which guy is the bongo guy.
Great. And with that, we've officially run out of things to talk about. Thank you so much for listening to the Guster Podcast.
We're finally rebranding to the show that I want.
Sweet. Yes. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon. On Patreon, we're actually going to do a Hearthside chat.
Yeah.
So we'll be answering your questions about the show.
Surprisingly, this movie wasn't worth two episodes.
Wasn't worth two. Although it was the longest movie I've ever seen.
Wasn't worth a deep dive into more about it.
Yeah. I think we've sufficiently talked about The Witcher and The Hexer.
Yeah.
And I think we never need to speak of this again.
Yeah. Everyone, go out and buy some Dove Large Promises. This episode is brought to you by Dove Large Promises. Do not buy the soap. They're going to look like the soap, but the soap is white. The Doves are brown.
What about the white chocolate?
Whatever Dove sells.
Fuck! Oh, no! Not again! It's happening again! I got to go empty my kitchen.
Sweet. Does anybody... head on over
to
patreon.com.
I think I hate the word promise in there.
Patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Do not sing yet.
You
guys
Dove.
You didn't even try, did you? You didn't even to listen to our after show, which this week will be the Hearthside. Next week we'll be back with another main campaign episode and the short rest. Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I do. Head on over to nadpod.com/live because we just announced three shows and they were almost sold out. We have shows in DC, Philly, and Boston in January.
Ooh, yeah,
not very many
wait.
Tickets left. So go over there.
We've never done DC.
Yeah.
Gonna be
We've
good.
Also got tickets left for Nashville as well. So if you are in that area of the world, take a little trip.
Yeah. Nashville's going to be a big show.
That's going to be Caldwell's homecoming.
Yeah. I have not been home since. I made a vow that I would never go home.
Return until you sold out.
Yeah. My parents are desperate to see their granddaughter.
Yeah. So that's in your hands. You got to buy a ticket to Nashville. Right. Sweet, guys.
To reunite grandparents with their granddaughter.
I've got some stuff from the P.O. box I'd love to shout out real quick.
That's
cool. Yeah, we get a lot of nice notes, so I like to shout those out every once in a while. Yeah. It's hard to get to all of them, but here's some fun highlights. Brittany wrote us a letter asking us to come to New Zealand.
Whoa.
And as a selling
point. We want to.
Yeah. Okay. They included an article about a Wellington woman who was held hostage in her home by a possum.
So,
whoa. That went from so dark to cute.
Yeah, at first I was like, hold on, where are you going with this, bud?
Dude.
It was a home invasion story, but cute.
I desperately want to go. I've never been to New Zealand.
Yeah, you got to watch out because, they are just constantly taking over the hotels. Madison S., a.k.a. at Shy Sparrow, sent us a note and an invite to their grad party. Congrats, Madison. We're going to get our robes dry clean and be right there.
Wow. Yes.
Natalie and Conrad sent us a save the date for their wedding in British Columbia. Congrats.
Wow.
Yeah, we were just there.
Gorgeous.
Congratulations, grad, emphasis on grad, Cassidy S. on your bachelor's in chemistry. Also, thank you for the cute picture of your kitty / chemistry assistant, Pernod. Amanda and Adam sent us a save the date and plan on scheduling their honeymoon to revolve around our next live show. That's great. We're going to be going to Turks and Caicos. So we're all excited for that.
Yeah, we're doing a show on the beach. It's crazy.
Ooh, a beach show would be so fun.
It would be so bad for sound. To hear.
Yeah, it's just so windy.
As someone who used to perform improv, like touring, and we would sometimes do like college orientation, and you're just like performing outside. It's not good.
Yeah, just a frisbee fucking hits you.
Yeah. I think it'd be fun though, because we could like put out some seeds and maybe like gulls would just come down and like be a part of the show. Yeah. We'll just have some like crab carcasses around.
Although we know that birds like to really go after Jake.
After Jake.
Yeah, they have a vendetta. I don't know what I've ever done to them.
So yeah, get excited for Jake to be eaten by birds. Big ups to Brianna and Kalia on their nups. Hope it goes swimmingly. Papa sends his best. And then one more. Our Charles sent us a postcard of a drawing they did of Todd from Team Tekken.
From KB3.
Yeah.
Good shit.
The back of the postcard just says Final Fantasy VII is the best one, period, cool.
Hell yeah.
Can't disagree.
Agreed.
Thanks for that,
I would
Charles.
Say second best one because Final Fantasy VI is the best one, but okay.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VI
you know,
is
send another
good.
Postcard if you, you want know. To. 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. Thanks for sending stuff in. We always enjoy looking at the things you send.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CHMurfsMe, at Cultist Caldwell, at Astrid's Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
Let's do our best, Gas Gears.
We are the youth of a nation.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means? We've got to shout out our benevolent council of elders. I'm talking about Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, The J-Pod, Dylan B, who is selling a Glad trading card for 100 brown leaves. That's a steal! Dungeon Mama, not sexual. Danielle the Dastardly Dame. Beardman Dan. Danny P. Michael McD. Vincent W. Mr. Cole. Victor T. Balnor's Boy. Dominic P. Andrew B. Justin I. Ragnar Fairwind, TJM, Trelay the Crayfay, Christopher B, Danielle R, Brianna B, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Jerry, Master of the Guy Horn, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Taylor S, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thatiator, Le Gladiator, Samuel B, Mike H, Matthew E, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here, Adrian the Halfling Bardificer, Rex Thaniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Rako, it's Kevin, Cody B, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag rise my comrades, spread the camaraderie, KDW, Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel, Cass, skateboard, Cass, captain of the Stevens, Steven C, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara K, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Foster the Ghostly Duck says, Happy Halloween. Aaron, the Asshole Ranger. Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon. Galad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron. Christian A, J Dragonborn. Joro, the Inapropro. Liam D, the Sandrian. Ben A, Feldonis. John the Third. Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear. Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfar's assistant Izzy S, who is planning a Feywild Wild style engagement party. Woo, that sounds like a rad time. The Time Walker, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena and Velaciraptor, B, Perky Always, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Annie M, the Crochet Crafty Queen, the Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Telekitty Creations fan illustrator. I'd like to see the Silver Serpent personally. Maybe coiled around Callie, but even just on their own. Bloops! Carly Ann, Addie K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Spam Gaming, who's just a raccoon that has a gun. Wow. Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, to the Dew Riders, my first D&D party. May all our adventures be wondrous. Thank you for being my friends. Oh, that was gorgeous. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan Hallman, Trub Hobdropper, Sydney T, Jack Hubert, Crabster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Toward Tomorrow, Fanderay, see you in Van City, we probably did see you there, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, who finally converted to the camaraderie of Calder's Cold Cum, Champ Wild, Valen, Beep the Druid, Barb, Barbarian, Carlin C, Emily S, Cody and TRAP, Pendergreen's roommates, God bless you, Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of all things, Justin L, Tori, Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Dandy, Mrs. Bunny, Marcos P, Jordan P, the occasional crit reporter, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida Malo, Pagos, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P, the Crit Gal Librarian, Friar Frizzit, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Briss, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Neos, the novice monster hunter, our strangely familiar new friend Simon. We all had a shared dream. We sang and listened to Artemis and Parzival by Gunship. Love Gunship. Patrick, Lorelei, the succubus, and Kyra, her busty queen. Michael, the Esri pop idol. I wish we'd gotten into that world. Morgan M, appealing sticker. Stephen E, spooky queers against colonialism, wish you a happy Halloween. Sydney and Andrew L, John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F, Captain Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patented SS Stormbjorn. Andrew B, Cope Fresh, Burpo Good Barrel, Birdbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. I'm going to keep the flab in there because it's a fun tongue twister. Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Dana Daisy, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of Hope, Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show, Blue Slade, the artificer, Michaela R, Riley S, Sir Sig, 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself, just trying to find himself, Tony G, Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever. Sorry, Jake. Josh H. Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue on the run with Bohemia's balls. A horse killed by Hard One. Mango Empanadas. Temidar, remember to noble before you chair, less you chair noble. I can feel your eye roll. Rented Mules, a.k.a. Big Piney. Drogador, the Burninator. Clementine T. Caleb L. Simone tried whiskey and liked it, Morgan. This message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC. Honk, the arcane trickster goose, hashtag CCC. Sorry, Jake. Again, it's getting apologized for that. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back. Papa Wookie, MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea. Little ferret pal. Samantha K, a big squid. Cronus Maximus, Gino T, Squid Minty, Fae Father, Father of all Fae, Mama Belle, Miko, the Noid Elf, Sheldon, the Mushroom Turtle, Straw Man, and 18 Wheels of Rubber and Steel. Ooh, that was a fun one to end on. That's it. Thank you all so much. We couldn't be doing what we're doing without you. We love y'all. Mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.